road, where life can be a groove, a comfy ride, full tank, good tunes, surrounded by the people who comprise your entire world. In a blink, that can change. In this case, the change agents were two assholes in a jacked-up Dodge Ram pickup, frequently the vehicle of choice for small men with inverted penises. We were in the right lane. My wife was at the wheel. On long haul, she usually takes the first shift because I'm not a morning person. My daughters were in the back seat. We were on the freeway, just getting into the Mojave Desert. Almost no traffic. Nothing but sky. Four lanes of concrete, sand, rock, and Joshua trees. And then, some piece of shit in a pickup is literally running us off the road. He slams into the left rear. The car rocks so hard, probably on two wheels. Will it roll? My kids scream. The car swerves. Is this bastard trying to do that cop move, the pit maneuver? My wife keeps it under control as she squeezes onto the shoulder. And then it hits a second time. And then his right front wheel, which is even higher than our hood, does a Ben Hur on our left front wheel. The sound is deafening. The truck's wheel grinding against ours at highway speed. We're headed off the shoulder. A roll is inevitable. I start to pray. Suddenly, the truck veers off, and my wife is able to pull the car to a stop. I take inventory. Everyone's okay. I exit the car. The truck pulls up behind us. I formulate a plan for the driver. Swift hyperviolence and death. I want to put my fist into his fucking face with sufficient force to penetrate his skull so his face is pushed into his brain. This will kill him instantly. And I'll look at my fist covered in his effluvium as he sinks to the desert floor. His head will look like a rotten, collapsed jack-o'-lantern soaked in blood. But if I do, there will be cops in prison for me, not to mention a wrecked vacation for my family. These thoughts flash through my mind in a second or two. When I see the guy, I realize I can probably accomplish my goal easily. He's about half my size. He starts apologizing and spinning bullshit about something wrong with his tires. Then his female companion comes into view. Her face has guilt all over it. Was she diddling him when this event occurred? Could be. I get a picture of his license and insurance. My daughters have their phones out and cover the scene. He continues to babble his bullshit about his tires and I ignore him. They drive away, amazingly on tires that work just fine. I assess the damage to our car. If it's not a total, it will be damn close. Driver's side is crunched and scored from the taillight to the headlight. Front left alloy wheel looks like it was strapped to a grinding wheel. I crouch, check the suspension. The front end is definitely fucked up. But it's only metal, plastic, and rubber. My family is okay. We have places to go. What now? Fuck it. I'm not going to let those douchebags fuck up our plans. We start the drive home, with alignment so bad the car is crabbing. Before dusk, I've left the car with Vic, an honest body and collision guy I've known forever. He agrees it will be a squeak whether it's a total or not. I also have a nice rental car with unlimited mileage. We're going to just start all over the next day. Of course, there's a lot more to this story coming to you from the road as it happens. This episode may sound a little different than those produced at the Take No Shit Dojo. Stay with me.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from that Larry show.
For men with balls.
pants.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 Come on, Larry. Larry.
The road can be a strange place. Ask any trucker. And it can go from bucolic to horrific at highway speed, as you just heard. And not just from traffic accidents. I've said this before and it bears repeating, they should stop using the term accident to describe automobile collisions. They are seldom accidents. Maybe not deliberate, but far from accidental. If someone blows a tire or brakes fail, resulting in a collision, that collision may be accidental. But what if the tire was bald or inflated way over capacity? Now, it's an avoidable collision caused by negligence. Same as texting or having sex with your girlfriend on the road. But is that shit negligence? No, it's not. Failing to check your tires is negligence. Texting or sex while driving is deliberate. Those should be criminalized. No different than Russian roulette, where you're pointing the gun at someone else. No different than drunk driving. Why are drunk drivers criminally prosecuted, but texters are not? I would estimate that 2, maybe even 3 out of every 5 drivers I see on the highway are fucking texting, and they're killing people. More people than are being killed by gun violence, by far. Where the fuck are all those mad mothers raging against drunks and guns? Answer: at the wheel of their minivans, texting while driving. The laws in this nation are catastrophically fucked up. And insurance companies suck. Deductibles are bullshit. I just put almost $800 worth of Continental rubber on that car. If they total it, will that be included in the payout? No. And if they don't total it, now my car shows up on Carfax as having been in an accident. That reduces the value when I sell it. Does insurance cover that? No. Instead of a $500 deductible, insurance companies should pay overage for all the incidental costs, but they don't. And about those Ram pickups. When you log enough miles, you begin to see patterns. And we notice that the incidence of DLAs, that's driving like asshole, seemed high. Tailgating, speeding, cutting people off, throwing shit out the window. Sure enough, this was not my imagination. Turns out, Ram 2500 drivers have the most DUIs, more than twice the national average. And how much fuckery are they doing that's never recorded? And among all makes of pickups, white paint jobs are most frequently DLAs. Haven't seen any studies on that. Maybe somebody will look into it. Which cars are driven by those with fewest drunk raps? Toyota RAV4, Hyundai Santa Fe's, and Toyota Sienna. There are no mysteries. But back to the road. This is my 8th time crossing the continent by car. I never imagined I could one day be able to tell you the best place to eat in, say, Tucumcari, New Mexico. It's a joint called Dell's. It's been there since 1956 when Tucumcari was the heartbeat of Route 66, the mother road, as Steinbeck called it. If you're eating Route 40 and 500-mile bites, Tucumcari is exactly that, between Flagstaff, Arizona and Fort Smith, Arkansas. Sure, there are other places you could stop for the night, but you'll be eating truck stop gunk and sleeping in Bob's Motel. So it's a convenient location, with a few motels and shops reserved for tourists that keep Tucumcari alive. Sort of. Travelers and truckers stop there for convenience, but tourists are looking for a taste of nostalgia, huh? When America was a very different country, when its best days were still ahead of it. In the mid-20th century, several events overlapped that lit the jets on America and made it the world's first and only superpower. Most of the planet had been pulverized by World War II. Absent Pearl Harbor, we were untouched. The economy was booming and two new ages came into bloom at the same time. The nuclear age and the rocket age. But the third and most crucial element of America's mid-century hegemony were the character and values of the people. Divorce and atheism were very uncommon. The family was sacrosanct. Self-reliance and daring were admired. So there was a population ready, willing, and able to take advantage of all the opportunities that came along. When people visit old Route 66, what they are after is a look at America preserved in its prime. Sure, the fantastic cars and googie architecture are eye-popping, but as Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture, and so is art and design. Every automobile had fins and a ready-for-takeoff stance. Coffee tables were shaped like wings. Nuclear energy had been harnessed and was powering submarines. Someday it would run your home and car, the ultimate sustainable energy source. The future wasn't bright. It was mind-blowing. Nothing was impossible with our can-do zeitgeist. If there was a common thought balloon over most Americans' heads, it would have said, "Let's go!" And go we did, right to the moon. And somehow, in just a few decades, that sentiment was replaced by, "Let's bitch. Let's be offended. Let's fuck up everything that was great about this nation and turn it into a crime-ridden shithole filled with stupid and/or frightened people who will sit on their asses and graze." Route 66 was America's main street back then, and it was fucking fabulous. A ribbon of asphalt optimism from Chicago to Los Angeles. Gleaming motels, shiny car dealerships, gas stations, and restaurants that looked like they were imported from Mars. What does Main Street USA look like now, huh? Graffiti, security cameras, security gates, chain link fences, razor wire, needle exchanges, food banks, homeless tent encampments, panhandlers and squeegee men, zombie junkies folded in two doing the heroin hunch. Starbucks just announced it's closing dozens of locations around the country because it's just too dangerous for employees to work there. This is where we are now. As the meme said, in the 20th century, JFK put men on the moon. In the 21st, Obama put men in the women's room. But back to my road trip. I was saying how I never imagined that someday I'd know the best places to stay and eat in tiny waypoints across America. And in the town of Tucumcari, New Mexico, it is Dell's. It's right on 66 with a tall sign that's a pastiche of lost America and sure to piss off all the soy boys and girls. It's about 20 feet high, and standing up top is a steer. Of course, cattle is a contributor to climate change, right? Beef is bad. We should all eat veggies, and if we must have animal protein, the approved variety is now from insects. Below the steer is a wonderful mix of fonts and media. It says Dell's in block channel letters, and below that is restaurant in red neon cursive, and below that is like a kind of a Budweiser bow tie shape saying since 1956, and below that is a marquee style square telling us it's all delicious, and the cuisine is Mexican American, a clear case of cultural appropriation, no? And think of the wattage that sign has consumed in 6.5 decades. How much climate-changing fossil fuel was burned so Dell could lure customers to his eatery? Of course, I'll post a picture of Dell's at the show page at thatlarryshow.com, where you can gaze upon its magnificence. I've been very blessed in life. I love my family ferociously. Of course, we sometimes get on each other's nerves, as everyone does, but there are so many folks who don't have that gift. Their families are dysfunctional and everyone wants a divorce, including kids from parents and vice versa. That must be a living hell. Sometimes on these road trips and restaurants, I'll look at a random family and picture myself with them. The night before Tucumcari, we were in Flagstaff. I look at a family in there, three generations, from toddlers to white-haired granny. And just by the way they dressed, head to toe in Patagonia product, Crocs and Birkenstocks. Well, that was the first red flag. The way they spoke, uptalk, and something about the father was familiar. Then I flashed on it. A couple of hundred miles earlier, that guy was on the opposite side of a gas pump from me at a Flying J truck stop. I was topping off my tank, as I always do, with multiple squeezes and reinsertions of the nozzle to fill that thing to maximum capacity. His son, maybe 10 or 11, asked Daddy why he didn't top off his tank. The guy answered,
"Because that's bad for the environment, son."
The following evening, when we walked into Dell's in Tucumcari, there was another table with a large family also spanning three generations. Not one of them was thumbing a phone. They were talking with each other and laughing, belly laughing sometimes. They looked like happy, normal people. Would I trade them for my crew? Never. But a meal with them would not be torture, like that group in Flagstaff. After we ordered the food, I stepped into the gift shop with my daughter. Every business on 66 has a gift shop. And they all sell pretty much the same crap. Shot glasses, bandanas, caps, earrings, all with the Route 66 logo. As we wandered, we were accompanied by George Jones on the Muzak. George has been dead for maybe 10 years. The song that played was a hit in 74. Its title, The Grand Tour. How eerily apropos. So there was near complete immersion right there in Dell's in the Route 66 experience. It was always kooky and kitschy, even in its heyday. That's mostly the mainstay of American culture, kooky and kitschy. And the fucktards who deny America ever had a culture, well, they are fucktards. Europe had monarchs, Mozart, and monuments with a horrible caste system. Millions and millions of Europeans traded in that culture for baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie, with a helping of neon and flashy cars and a home of their own. And near limitless freedom to make it on your own, go where you wanted, and maybe have the delicious grilled catfish. As we exited Dell's, someone at that family table gave me a big smile and a good evening nod, which I returned. After dinner, we stood in the middle of Route 66 taking pictures of the quintessential mid-century motel, the famed Blue Swallow, replete with a gleaming, about maybe a 53 Buick, in front of the office. A soft breeze blew across the desert. There was no traffic, not a single car passed by, on a thoroughfare that was once busy, 24/7. It was about 9 p.m. Sad. Only a few cars sat in front of rooms at the Blue Swallow. How long would it be able to hold out? We headed for our hotel, a newer, plusher chain with firm beds, good water pressure in the showers, and fast Wi-Fi. The girl at the desk had some attitude. Who knows why? Maybe she had a fight with her boyfriend. Maybe she had no boyfriend and had a fight with her mom. Maybe she was just pissed about working the front desk in a hotel chain in a town that's on life support. She took my license and credit card and tapped her keyboard with the intricately decorated, inch-long nails. Who knew there was such artistry available in this museum of a town? The automatic doors whooshed open behind me. Had Claude Rains just entered? A hot desert wind blew into the lobby, and my mind wandered. There are a bunch of cliche phrases you've heard 1,000 times in movie and TV shows. I'll be back. Go ahead, make my day. Do you feel lucky? You know, dialogue like that. I'd never uttered any of them because there was never the right moment. The opening has to be perfect. If it isn't, and you shoehorn in some catchphrase, you look and sound like a bucket of assholes. The door behind me whooshed shut. She looked up from the keyboard and asked, "What brought me to Tucumcari?" When she said that, I could almost hear and feel the gears engage and mesh in my brain like Robbie the Robot. She had asked a question that begged for one of the most classic and cliched movie lines ever. I looked at her and said, "Just passing through." I felt like Clint in High Plains Drifter. She looked at me and slapped my plastic on the counter. Did I see envy in her face? Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes and pictures from my extended road trip. While you're there, be sure to click the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you want to write, the address is thatlarryshow@gmail.com. If you like what you just heard, why not help me keep the show going? Click the Patreon or PayPal button and help me piss off commie scum that's destroying our country. If you prefer to donate by mail, there's a post office box address, also at thatlarryshow.com. My friends, it's doubly good to be with you this time. For a few moments out on that desert highway last week, I wasn't so sure we'd be together now. You really never know from moment to moment. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, God bless, take care, and take no shit.